This is Hello from the Essex Book Festival podcast, bringing stories into your hearts and homes, and the chance to spend some time walking in the shoes of a fellow human here on planet Earth. My name is Glenys Newton, and our guest today is Faraj Al-Nasser. Is that how I say your surname?
Yes, Al-Nasser.
Who is from Aleppo in Syria and now living here in the UK. So welcome, Faraj, and thank you for taking part in the Essex Book Festival podcast. So, you've now been in the UK for 5 years?
For 5 years, yeah.
And before that, you were in Turkey for 2 years?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Syria before that. So can you just tell us a little bit about having to make the decision to leave Syria and a little bit about your time? You were homeless in Turkey as well.
Sure. So the war started in 2012 in Aleppo, Syria, and my family decided to leave the country because it wasn't safe, and we moved to Egypt, actually, before Turkey. So I went with my family to Egypt and I lived there for 1 year. But that time was kind of the second revolution in Egypt, and also kind of moving from unsettled place to another place where you feel like not settled. And I was kind of confused. Everything happened very quickly in the same time, and I was quite young. So, and I've decided to go somewhere where I feel more secure, safer, and far away from all that troubles that I've been experienced in both countries. So, and I've decided to leave also my family because I felt just too much pressure on me to be from the war in one side and from the other side from my family. And I went to Turkey at the age of 17. I couldn't speak any Turkish, and I didn't know anyone there, and I stole my money from my father, actually, to buy the ticket to Turkey. I haven't told them. It was a crazy decision, but also it took me a while to get that decision and decided to leave Egypt. Yeah, it was unexpected too, but I was excited that there is a journey waiting for me, and also I am going to be by myself, so it's totally going to be my decision. So yeah, and then I took the plane and then I flew to Turkey, arrived there, and like, what the hell I've done? I didn't know anyone there, I couldn't speak Turkish, and like, oh my God. And I wasn't able to come back to Egypt that time because of after the second revolution, the Egyptian authority or the Home Office, they've changed the law, so like no Syrian not anymore or allowed to access to Egypt as it used to be for free visa. Yeah, so I need a visa and all this papers, and I was kind of like, another hand, happy because I really wouldn't want to come back. So this kind of like gave me a reason that I'm also not able to go back again to my family. And yeah, so here the journey started. I lived in Turkey for 2 years and I was homeless. I spent first year by the Syrian-Turkish border, just wandering around, trying to learn the language. I lived in the street for a bit, and then I managed to live in a school to cook and to teach some Arabic. I mean, I wasn't a teacher, but I was able to teach some basics to the children, and in terms of to get a free accommodation to live there. Then I lived there with them for 6 months. It wasn't unpaid, but at least I have a free accommodation. Yeah. And I have a free meal, which was great.
And you were near the mountains, overlooking your home.
I was close to the mountain, close to home, because... So I've decided to choose that place because it was close to the border, Syrian border. So every time I feel homesick, I feel really kind of emotionally down, and I really miss home, I miss family, and also have a grandma in Aleppo. She's still there. So I used to go to the mountain and look to the Syrian side, and like just look to home, and like one day I will return. Yeah, and in fact I went once. I was kind of also crazy, like I really miss home and I really want to visit my grandma. I took the journey from Turkey to Syria, across the border, and and I managed somehow to get to Aleppo. And I saw my grandmother, and she said, "Oh my God, Faraj, like, what? Yeah, yeah. How did you come to here?" And I said to her, "Well, Grandma, it's a long story, but at least I'm here. I'm really scared. I cannot come back. I'm homeless in Turkey, and I'm sick of that. And I don't want to be with my family. And I cannot go back. And they actually, I haven't been in touch with them. They have no idea where I am, and I don't know where they." And yeah, and she said, "Faraj, they've been actually wondering where you are." And yeah, so I told her the story, and she said, "Look, Faraj, you can stay for a day or two, but you have to leave because of Syria during the war, and they just need people in my age to go and fight." And yeah. she said, "Faraj, if they catch you, they're gonna take you to fight with them." And she said, I said to her, "I'm still under 18, said that nobody will take me." And she said, "No, you have to go." So she said, "If you love me, you have to leave." So, and I left, and in my way going back to Turkey, I've been stopped by different checkpoints, and one last one was by Al-Qaeda, or they called it Al-Nusra, I think, yeah, and then they wanted me to go and fight with them, and like, oh my God, this is what my grandmother was wanting me to, yeah, and then I said, yes, I will go, because if I said no, they will kill me. So I went with them, and I was terrified. I was really scared. And like, what should I do? You know, I don't want to fight, but also I have no choice.
Yes.
Like either. So I just fight with them or they will kill me. So yeah, but I don't want to die. I don't want to be killed, but also I want to be free. And I just said yes to them, went with them for like a day. And then I think they left me in the office, and then they left, the guy, he took me, left. And then another guy came and he said, "What are you doing here? Why are you crying?" And I said, just a story came to my mind. And I told him, it was a lie. I said, it was people, the bombing outside, and I felt scared. And one of your friends saw me, and he tried to protect me, and he brought me to here to feel safer. And he said, "What?" And he said, "Okay, just go out of my face." And he told me to leave the building, and I ran away.
And you managed to escape.
Yeah, I managed to escape. Just a lie. I lied to him, but how that happened, I have no idea. And then I went back to Turkey, and then the Turkish border was locked. I had to go through the whole mountain to cross to the mountain between Syria and Turkey, and that was another journey, because if the Turkish army on the border saw me, they will kill. They have right to kill me, because they have no idea if I am a fighter, if I am an ordinary person, who I am, you know,
yeah.
Going through that, through the mountain, yeah. So, but then made it safely and went back to Turkey. And I was like, I am not going to go back to Turkey, to Syria again, never ever, yeah.
Crikey. So now you're in the UK and you arrived safely, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And there's like massive stories in between Turkey and here, isn't there? But and since coming to the UK, it's, you know, you're safe, but it hasn't all been particularly easy.
Yeah, because sometime, I mean, that time, because my goal was to survive, to find a safe place that I can live.
Yeah.
I can study, I can work, I can continue my normal life
yeah.
that I had before in Syria. And so all this journey was about looking for a safe place that I can fit in, and I can continue my life normally. But I didn't think about my trauma as well. I didn't think about my emotional needs or about my family that much, because more about surviving, like step by step, from place to other place, just to feel secure. But then when I came to the UK, I am safer here, but then the trauma just like hits me, and like, oh, like,
so what kind of problems did you come across when you came here?
Well, from the childhood, from the war, from bad people, they, like, for example, if I didn't escape from those people, I've been now killed or fighting with them.
Yeah.
Or like crossing the border coming from Turkey to the UK, to in the middle of the ocean, the boat has been, was over
crowded.
2 minutes crowded, yeah. Was crowded, and somehow I have no idea how we managed. I had to swim, continue my journey, to get to Greece, and then you didn't know what my future would look like, what's going to happen to me.
And you never know what's going to happen next, what the next step will take you.
And then to Hungary, being in the jail for 10 days, tortured by the police, naked, and the people killed in front of me by the police during this journey. But I didn't think about it, I just continued my journey. But when I came to England, all of that just like appeared in front of me and hit me.
So there were people died on the truck that you were on?
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
We were 14 people.
14 people died?
Yeah, we were 14, we two survived. I survived, another guy. No idea how, and I don't know where I was like that time. We just woke up in the hospital and they keep the police taking us from place to another place until a few days we found that, okay, now you're in the UK and you're safe. And then the government sent me to north of England, to Huddersfield in West Yorkshire.
So there's a lot of stereotypes of refugees.
Yeah.
And one of them being, how do we know we can trust refugees?
Yeah.
And I always think, actually, isn't it more, how does somebody know who to trust? If you're in a new country and you don't speak the language and you don't
difficult.
Know the culture,
yeah.
How do you know who to trust? So, what would you say, is there anything that's made it easier to help you feel safe here?
So, of course, I mean, there are always nice people exist. And I went to like a little kind of community. They help refugees to give them like a free meal also for homeless people. And I kind of like made connection with them. They said, oh, like he's a refugee, he can come. And I said, can I volunteer, help? So I start to learn some English from them and cook for them. And then here, you know, the story started, the people get to know me. And to make this connection, you know, because beyond what where we come from and the culture and also the language barrier, but we still, you're a human being, you know. It's difficult to trust, but also if we can take a risk or trust or open our door,
yes.
How are we gonna know, you know?
So, do you have any final words on how we might each be able to do our bit to make the world a better place?
I mean, the world is interesting. I know the life is difficult and tough, but also sharing, being with people, you know, like I just like to meet new people, new friends, and share like food with them. That shyness, that's like boundaries between the differences between us. Like, I'm not different from you, you're not different from me. We all sit in the same table. We all eat the same food. We feel bad, we feel good, we feel miserable, we feel excited, we get happy, we get depressed. In Syria, food has a strong identity.
Yeah.
We always talk about food. We always our door open for anyone can come unexpectedly and share their meal with them.
Faraj, you already make the world a much better place.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.